Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the host of the Raw Dog Food Truth, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Not premium kibble. Not extra premium. No kibble. Zip zero nada. Don't call me and ask me for a recommendation on kibble because there ain't no good kibble. Right, Dr. Judy Jasek?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. I was just saying before we started recording that I used to kind of walk the fence and say, okay, some kibbles are better than others. And if you feed those and maybe add in some fresh food, you're okay. But you know what? They're about 50% carbohydrate. They're dead, toxic food. All of them are. You can't feed it. If you want a healthy pet, you can't feed it.
Right. You just can't do it. Now, some people are going to say, well, I can't afford to feed raw. Well, I think you need to, let's do some price comparisons. There are some commercial pet foods that are quite expensive. And I will tell you that when I've worked with people coming from pet food store, raw dog foods, we've saved them almost half. We're a wholesale distributor, okay? A wholesale pet food company. So call me, email me, let me do some price comparisons for you. Now, Dr. Jasek, you are a vet who deals with cancer. Mm-hmm. And you deal with the gut biome. You are looking at pets, how they are manifesting unhealthy guts every single day. And that includes allergies. That includes itchy skin. We have a lot of pet parents that really drive themselves crazy switching raw dog food. So switching from turkey to a duck, to pork, to venison, to beef, to this, to that. I had a customer the other day call and want to know when we were going to get rabbit in. Rabbit is this novel protein, right, that has become very in demand. So obviously it's expensive and it's hard to come by because we don't get our rabbits from China. All right. So we got to make sure that where we get the rabbits, sustainable, ethical farming, and they're doing what we need them to do. But the thing was, is that she said, all right, so I did this allergy test and my dog can only eat rabbit. Here was my response. Number one, we don't really see that allergy tests are that correct. It's a snapshot in time. Maybe something's going on right then. But a lot of times, Dr. Jasek, what I see are these allergy tests set up a pet parent to feed one protein constantly, and that sets up a nutritional deficiency. So we need to kind of help our listeners understand what to do when they find that their dog may be itching, but to not necessarily rely on these allergy tests. Why are the allergy tests just not that effective?
Well, I think there's this assumption, first of all, that dogs itch, so they're allergic to something. And I believe that's incorrect. I believe true food allergies, and even environmental allergies, true allergies are actually quite rare. What we end up getting is leaky gut. We get an unhealthy gut. And what leaky gut is where the junctions between the cells, so the intestines, the intestinal lining is cells that are pushed close together, and their job is to regulate what gets absorbed into the bloodstream and what gets passed out. Well, there are things like gluten, for example, has been shown to damage this lining and cause those cells to separate. So bigger protein molecules than are supposed to get in the bloodstream get in the bloodstream. So the proteins are absorbed before they're fully broken down and digested. And what this does is it can set off an immune reaction because these molecules are not supposed to be in there. And what happens is you get you do an allergy test. So if you have a leaky gut, you've got a body that's reacting to all these big protein molecules that are getting into the bloodstream that shouldn't be there. And the immune system's reacting to them. And then you get an allergy test that shows that the dog is allergic to all these things. The only reason the dog isn't allergic to rabbit is because it hasn't eaten rabbit. If you ate rabbit and you did that allergy test, I would highly suspect that dog would come back allergic to rabbit because it's the same thing. So it's not about allergies. It's about healing the gut. And I had this done on myself because I've had some digestive issues over time and I had an allergy test done. And that's exactly what happened to me. It's allergic to every single thing I was eating. I got it back. I'm like, what on earth am I supposed to eat? And so I quit eating the things I was most sensitive to on the test, and it didn't make any difference at all. But this practitioner that I went to never talked about leaky gut. I mean, now I know what was going on. I probably had leaky gut. And I've taken other steps to work on the immunomicrobiome. So I think we need to be looking at healing the gut, and you have to get off an allergy test. Done on a dog that's eating kibble in any amount is invalid, in my opinion, because that gut is damaged and is inflamed from the kibble. Or you're feeding treats with carbs or supplements with carbs. You know, I read labels, I mean, all the time. Every time, you know, I read a pet's record and, you know, there's so many different supplements and different things out there. And I can't believe, you know, the ingredients. So we take a dog off kibble, but then there's supplements with things like, you know, oat flour and pea flour and, you know, barley grass and all these things that could potentially be inflaming that dog's gut. So you have to eliminate all of those inflammatory ingredients. And then sometimes you have to take, you know, other steps to work on healing the gut. And sometimes that's, you know, through herbs and, you know, different things that can help, you know, settle down that gut and rebuild the microbiome, eliminating yeast. This is something I'm kind of looking into this in pets, the importance of yeast overgrowth in the gut. They talk a lot about this in people and, you know, especially dogs with itchy skin, because what's going on in the skin is a reflection of what's going on in the gut, because it's connected. You know, the skin goes up to the mouth and then it goes down the digestive tract, which is a tube, and it's a different tissue type. But the symptoms you see on the outside are a reflection of what's going on the inside. So if you have, you know, a real itchy dog that smells real yeasty and damp and, you know, that kind of icky smell, I'm thinking maybe we need to be eliminating yeast more, being more effective at eliminating yeast in the digestive tract, because the yeast will compete with the healthy microbes that we want to be growing there. So I think there's a lot of stuff, you know, we need to be looking at, and it's really tricky because every pet is an individual, and we have to get in and we have to see what works and what doesn't work. But this just constantly changing proteins, if you're not looking at helping to heal the gut, I think that's a dead end road. And I think the allergy tests just don't show us cause and effect. I would say if you did all the stuff, you got all the carbs out, a raw diet, and you just can't figure out, you know, what's going on with the skin, then, you know, maybe do an allergy test, see if, you know, there is a true sensitivity. But the other thing about that is it's pretty easy to figure out, because we recommend rotation anyway in the proteins. And so if we've taken these steps, we've gotten all the carbs out, and, you know, we've taken some steps to help get the gut healthy, and you're rotating proteins anyway, you're going to figure out pretty fast if there's a sensitivity to something. And that's, you know, I tell people, if you feed a certain protein and for whatever reason your pet doesn't seem to do well, then don't feed that protein, feed the others. You don't really have to spend the money on the allergy test to figure that out. And I think all the other important points get overlooked. It's just, it's not this, you know, this panacea that a lot of people seem to think it is.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, so you take a puppy, he gets his puppy shots, gets all of his boosters and his vaccines, right? Boom, boom, boom. And maybe they're going to throw the lepto in there. Some different things that can really damage the gut. All right. So we start out there. Then we start out feeding a puppy chow, or we start feeding a kibble, and we're feeding that kibble for, you know, a certain amount of time, maybe a couple of years. And then you say, you know what, I'm going to switch over and start feeding a raw diet. So you switch over and you start feeding a raw diet, and we do get some relief, but we still see that there's itching. This is where I think people don't link back far enough, and they say, what damaged the gut in the first place? Right? What damaged the gut? So as you were saying, if we have a damaged gut, yes, you're going to see improvement on the raw diet. But I think that people, they want this absolutely itch-free dog. And again, we have to look and say, is the dog damaging its skin? Is it keeping the owners up at night? You know, that sort of thing. What is the severity of the itching? Because I can tell you this time of year, when it's cold here, when it's drier here, that Asta will itch more than she itches in the summer. But is it a constant, I just can't lay down without itching? No, it is not that at all. And, you know, but when she gets up, you know, does she maybe itch her stomach? And, you know, look, dogs have a lot of hair. And, you know, my skin itches sometimes. Maybe there's something on me that's causing me to itch, right? So it's not always a bad thing. But back to what you said, leaky gut could be the culprit. And if that is the culprit, it really probably isn't going to do you any good to keep switching around on the proteins. So we've got to get that leaky gut healed. Recently, we had a customer, and this dog has been suffering from yeast problems for a very long time, to the point where, you know, the skin turned black. I saw him the other night. We've done a lot of different things, and he went through the Yeasty Beast protocol. So that's a liver detox. There's three different products in that Yeasty Beast protocol. And he said the dog's really doing well. So I think that you're right, that getting the yeast out of the system is extremely, extremely important. How long do you think, Dr. Jacek, it takes to heal a leaky gut? Obviously, that is a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, you know, the cells in the intestines actually turn over pretty quickly. Like every few weeks, that intestinal lining is turning over. So I think you could see an improvement pretty quickly. Now, keep in mind that this leaky gut is causing a disruption in the immune system. So to get everything to completely calm down, so all the external symptoms. So you might turn over these intestinal lining cells and you're helping the leaky gut, but then you've got to, in the case of itchy skin or severely inflamed skin, you got to also turn over all those skin cells. So that's going to take some time. So this takes some patience, because we could be healing the gut very nicely. You could maybe be healing the gut in 3 or 4 weeks, but it may still take 2 or 3 months to see the full effect on the skin. And I think you have to look also for trends and patterns, because a lot of these things will cycle. And when you see your pet every day, it's hard to know, unless you're like keeping track. You know, I recommend that people keep a journal, because sometimes pets can get better gradually, but it's like you were saying, Dee Dee, if people are looking for that stop point, my pet's itching, I don't want it to itch. I want it to completely stop itching. And it doesn't happen that way. It happens gradually, because when you have this inflamed skin and they're itching, they're going to keep that skin inflamed by itching. So it kind of becomes this vicious cycle too. So even though we're working on healing the gut, we need to you know, be looking at other things, you know, sometimes, you know, bathing, or, you know, is the pet getting an appropriate amount of activity? Anxiety can sometimes set off these itching episodes. Sometimes it just becomes a habit, you know, they're just so used to itching or chewing on their feet. They lay down, they don't got anything else to do. Well, I chew on my feet. That's what I've been doing for 2 years. So there's a lot of different, and then once they start chewing, you know, it's like you had a mosquito bite and then you scratch it and it itches more, and then you itch it, you know, and it scratch it, or you scratch it and it itches more. They get in this vicious cycle. So there's a lot to the picture. And I think, you know, the reason conventional drugs get so popular is they will stop these symptoms cold, but you're not addressing the underlying cause. And when you suppress inflammation in the body, it's going to come back later as something more serious. I can guarantee it. It's going to be autoimmune disease. It's going to be cancer. It's going to be some real serious disease if all you're doing is suppressing symptoms. Anything that will stop symptoms like this, like itchy skin symptoms, stop them cold, like, you know, 48, 72 hours. Wow, this stuff's a miracle. My dog quit itching. You're headed down a very dangerous road, because that dog's going to get a lot sicker on down the road. And another thing too that I see, especially in these young dogs, you know, I see, like Dee Dee, you mentioned the vaccines, which is really true. These dogs get pumped full of vaccines between, you know, 2 and 6 months of age. And then, you know, by the time they're a year, they're just itching like crazy. And then a lot of times they've already been put on antibiotics and other medications that further disrupt the microbiome without taking a step back and looking at, okay, what's, you know, what's really causing the itching. So it's not there, you know, there is no quick fix. You have to start somewhere, and definitely raw diet is a good place to start. But when you don't get complete results, you have to look at, okay, what else is going on? We need to work harder to correct the microbiome or eliminate yeast, or, you know, there's other things that we can do to help the process along.
Yeah. Now the two most used stop the itchies is going to be Cytopoint and Apoquil. Neither one of those would be recommended by you, correct?
Right. And the main reason is because, you know, they're new, and I get really nervous when these drugs just pop out. And you know, again, it's suppressive medicine. So you're mainly suppressing symptoms. And a lot of these drugs are not highly tested. Now, I haven't looked into specifically how these two medications have been tested, but they get approved pretty quickly sometimes. And they're not, you know, they're not tested out in the real world as far as side effects. So these drugs are tested on, you know, sadly, laboratory animals that can be genetically different, and they're not exposed to the same things that our pets are. So if I'm going to do something to suppress itching, which, you know, sometimes I do in the short term, because sometimes the stress of the situation is so great. So the dog is chewing holes in their skin, and they're, you know, they're keeping their people up at night, and it's like, okay, everybody's agitated. And I feel like, okay, we just need to give this situation some relief. I would use something like prednisone with a, you know, maybe a 2 week plan, 2 to 3 weeks. Cause once they're on prednisone, you have to wean them off. You can't just stop them cold turkey. So I would put them on that. Cause I'm familiar with it. I know what's going to happen in that dog's body. And I also know that putting them on it for a few weeks, because it's going to alleviate the stress of the situation. And I know we can do that in an otherwise healthy animal. You can do that safely, and they're going to, you know, come off of it. But the goal is to start doing other things, because the more holistic things take longer to see an effect. So we can get some immediate relief, and then we wean off of, you know, the more conventional medication as we're doing the other things. And I ideally get them off of it, you know, completely as the other things start to have an effect.
Yeah. Well, I think you are a great resource for our pet parents, even if they have a vet that they love. If you have a vet that you love, but he's a traditional vet, and maybe they're pushing you to do a Cytopoint or an Apoquil, get in touch with Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. You can find her at drjudyholisticvet.com. Go to her website. She can help you via phone. She can review records. If you're here in Colorado, you do some great things. I just did some blood work with my German Shepherd with Dr. Judy. My German Shepherd is 10. What we found was that she was slightly deficit in vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is not something that you guys want to mess around with unless you have something, someone guiding you, like Dr. Jasek, okay? So don't just go out and buy some vitamin D and start slapping it on your dog, you know, giving it to your dog. You can get a toxicity there. So let's don't do that. Work with a trained professional. The second thing that you offer that I totally loved, which gave me great comfort, was a test to determine what Asta's susceptibility or possibility of having cancer was. And here she is, 10 years old, and that test came back very low probability. And that was just awesome. That was just awesome.
Yeah, that's a big testimonial to the raw feeding. And even though she was low in vitamin D, her inflammatory markers were so low that even though her vitamin D was a little bit deficient, and that's a very easy thing to supplement, her cancer index was extremely low. Her cancer risk was almost non-existent. It was very, very low.
Yeah. Yeah, which is so amazing, which gives me great comfort. And, you know, also, there's just a lot of things. So tweaking, right? So as dogs get older, maybe they have some malabsorption issues, or maybe they need more of this, or maybe they need more of that. So I always recommend doing a full blood panel. And certainly, if you are a raw feeder, you want to be doing that with a vet who understands how to read these panels in association with what you're feeding and the gut biome. So I found that was amazing. And so I thank you for that. And again, I would just encourage you to get in touch with Dr. Judy Jasek at drjudyholisticvet.com. She can be your pet health coach, your consultant, your liaison. She is a vet, for Christ's sakes. Okay, come on. She's been doing this for 30, 35 years. So it's not like she's just somebody that decided to go out and get a certification in pet health. Okay, this is true science at work. It is an art form. As you and I have talked about many times, it's an art form to work with pet health.
Totally is. And I'm very happy to work with, you know, other veterinarians. If you have lab work, you know, from another vet, you know, I can still help. I can give you another point of view. If you feel like you've reached a dead end, I can definitely help shine a little different perspective on the situation.
Yeah. And if you have allergy tests, let's take a look at those before we just start going round and round and round and round and round. You may be, you know, just shooting in the dark, not really addressing the issue. So let's take a look at that. And remember, if you have a question that you would like to have answered here on the Raw Dog Food Truth, please email me at info@rawdogfoodandco.com. Okay. Raw Dog Food and co.com. All right, Dr. Judy, thanks so much for spending time with us today. We'll see you next week on another exciting episode of the Raw Dog Food Truth.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.